Okay, very good. Here we go, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give away my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. And now three remain. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Well, church family, if I asked you, church family, where have you mainly heard these verses read? You amongst friends, yes. So feel free to answer if I ask a question. You're very welcome to interrupt me, but if I don't answer you, I don't think I'm being rude, just because I don't know the answer. Anyway, this one I do know you know the answer. Church family, if I ask you, where have you mainly heard these verses read? Where would you say? Go on, shout out some things. Weddings? During weddings? Very good. So we've got two of the same answer. Any more weddings? Wedding? Very good. So four weddings? No funeral. Any more? Sorry, that's not helpful. At a wedding, that's right. At church, okay? So at a church, yes, that's right, at church. But mainly, these words are read at a wedding. They are wonderful, relevant and appropriate words at the wedding, isn't they? Because their description are just spot on. Church family, I must tell you that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, did not have a wedding in his mind. He was writing to a very troubled church. There had loads of issues going on at this church in Corinth. Loads and loads of issues. If you turn back to chapter 1, all the way, you see exactly what I mean. There was a lot of problems going on. But also, there were some good things going on at this church. You'll see there that there were indeed some good things going on. But one of the problems that was going on at this church was worship. The way that they did their worship. Actually, if you look down to chapter 14, verse 26, Paul mentions there that many the members of that fellowship were allowed to make a contribution in their worship services. If someone had, for example, Hakim had a hymn, would jump up and says, "Hey, brothers and sisters, I've got a hymn." We would go along with Hakim. Someone else would come up and say, "I've got a word of instruction." Yeah, we'll go along with that. Someone else will come up and say, "I've got a tongue of some sort." And that will go on as well. So you see, Paul did not shut that down at all. but he did not encourage them either. He made it very clear, if you look down to that chapter verse I said to you, he made it very clear to them that everything must be done to build up the church. Chapters 11 to 14 specifically deals with the worship issue. Our chapter, verse 13, is right in the middle of it. Tongues and prophecy were a particular issue. The church at Corinth held highly to tongues and prophecy. Even today, if you ask someone what they think a worship service should look like, you'll have loads and loads and loads of varied answers to that. Some churches will say, oh, we like our worship loud. Or church is not proper worship unless you've got an organ or a piano or someone on a guitar singing at the front leading us. Oh, no, you've got to have someone that speaks in tongues. Oh, there's got to be an interpreter. You'll have a varied issues of how to do worship in a church. Letter of 1 Corinthians and 2 would have been read as a whole. I hope you're beginning to see that actually chapter 13 has nothing to do with weddings. Can you see that a little bit? Maybe not quite, but it's actually got nothing, absolutely nothing to do with weddings. I'm not knocking anyone who's had me at their wedding. It's just the context is not of weddings. So, our brothers and sisters at Corinth would have been really surprised to think a lot of churches further down the line are using these words as words to be read at a wedding. Actually, their response would have been more of a shock, more of an uncomfortable warning. That would have been more appropriate. More of a shock and an uncomfortable warning. So, let's look at the details as to why this was a warning and a shock. So Paul was saying to the Corinthians, we'll call them Corinthians Community Church. That makes sense to us, doesn't it? Paul is saying to the Corinthians Community Church, three things can happen. Can't they say three things? And one of them, the possibility that could happen, which is a shock to them, is that you can worship without love. You can worship without love. And we see that in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men, all of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I've never used the words clanging cymbal, a resounding gong, so I looked up in the dictionary to see what that means. Probably you would know, but I didn't know anyways.
Japanese.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just a big and unmistakable sound.
Yeah.
Gong. That does nothing for me. I don't know. That's what Paul says. It's a bit like that. Yeah. Corinth Community Church thought highly of their worship, especially the gifts of speaking in tongues and prophecy. They felt special, specially gifted by God. Paul said to them, if I speak in tongues but do not have love, I am... Oh, thank you, Diana. If I speak in tongues but do not have love, I am a resounding Chinese gong. That's right, a resounding gong. So the first thing is Paul says, you could worship without love. If you do that, you're a bit like a resounding gong. The second thing he says is, you could do ministry without love. That's right, it's up there, Seth. You could do ministry without love. And we see that in verse 2. Look down with me at verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and yet if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Thank you, Hakim. If I can prophesy, fathom all mystery, preach brilliantly, instruct others really, really well, able to answer questions that no man has answered, they come to me, oh yeah, I can give it to them really well. If I have faith, I can move mountains. But I have no love, I am... Oh, come on, church family. I am... Thank you. You can't miss it, surely. I'm not making this up. If I can do all that, but I have love, I am... Thank you. So we've got, you could worship without love, you could possibly do ministry without love. The third thing Paul says is you could, what is up there, Seth? You could sacrifice without love. And we see that in verse 3. Look with me, verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. If I give all I possess, including my body, but I have no love, I am nothing. Brothers and sisters at Corinth, brothers and sisters at Enfield, at Edmonton, I've not said that for years, I mean that. At Edmonton, if I have no love, if love is absent in all I do, whether ministry, worship, or sacrifice, I am. If love is absent, then it means it's. Corinthians Community Church, where love is absent, you are nothing. There is no such a thing as a Christian or a Christian church that does not have love. Worship, ministry, sacrifice without love is nothing. Silver Street Community Church, if all you do is without love, then you are, I didn't hear that, then you are nothing. Having come to the end of 2021, have all the things we've done, all the things we've done, you've done, I've done, been centered of the love of our Lord Jesus? Our Lord Jesus gave us a perfect example in his worship, in his ministry, in his sacrifice, all the way to the cross, overflowing with love. If you hear someone who says, yes, 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 I love the Lord Jesus. Yes, my heart is full of the Lord Jesus and his love. But your love is running really low. Please ask the Lord Jesus to refresh that love for you, for those that you worship with, those that you serve with, and those that you give. Ask him to refresh it in your heart. On your own, you won't be able to do it. He's going to be the one that has to do it. Ask him to refresh that love in you. So I hear you ask. Okay, then. What does this love look like? We hear it if you have no love, but you're nothing. What does this love look like? I hear you ask. I'm really glad you've asked that. If you look down from verse 7, Paul gives us 15 descriptions. But I have tried to narrow those down. Having to go through all those 15, we'll be here a while. So forgive me if I don't cover all 15, but I've tried to narrow them down. So this is what love looks like, according to the verses we've got here. Love is patient, and we see that in verse 4. Love is patient. Church family, if you ask me, do you love your family? I would say, oh yes, I love my family very much. If I asked you, do you love your family? You would say, oh yes, yes, yes. Love my family very much. But church family, if you ask me, are you patient with your family? I'll be a little bit hesitant in answering that question. Because patience shows love. That means you show patience to people who are difficult, people who are frustrating, slow to learn, annoying. I'm not saying my family are like that. Sometimes they are. Thank you. But what I'm saying is love shows itself in patience. Let's move on quickly. There's another one. So love is patient. Love is kind. I think there's some more. It's fine. You can leave them all there. Love is kind. Love is generous. It focuses on offering pleasure to others. When there's no benefit to me, I am still very happy and really keen to show giving to someone else. It shows pleasure in offering others, even when there's no benefit to me. Love does not envy, genuinely accepting that others do things better than me. And I am happy that they own such and such. They teach better. They play music better than me. They do marriage better than me. They react positively when others are successful. That's what love looks like. Oh, there's more. Love is not proud. You see them all down listed there. I read somewhere that there is no swagger about love. I like that. There's no swagger about love. To grow in love will mean genuinely accepting that you're not the best. Love is never self-seeking. If we want to grow in love, then we need to stop being obsessed with ourselves. We need to be careful that it's not all about me. In thought and in word, we are to take a genuine interest in others. Oh, love is not rude. Courtesy, showing and valuing others, saying, thank you. Oh, well done. That was really good. No, really smart, saying that really quickly. Well done. That was excellent. Oh, thank you, Hakim. I am sorry. These may not be very much heard in me, especially to those that are close to me. That's not love. It's just rude. Let's move on. Love is restrained, not easily angered or upset. Do people have to be careful around you? If yes, then change is needed. Do not delight in evil, but rejoicing in the truth. Brothers and sisters, are people really careful in what they say when you're there? It's like walking on eggshell. Oh, we don't want to upset him. Oh, no, that's not going to be a good topic to discuss around him or her. Brothers and sisters, if you have love, you're going to have to work on that. Because if you have no love, you are
nothing.
Thank you, Hakim. Brothers and sisters, let's use the scriptures to examine ourselves, asking him to strengthen our faith and love like Jesus, to increase our joy and love. Who does this description of love remind you of? You can shout it out. Who does it remind you of? Ah, thank you. Ah, you're very quick there. It does indeed remind. I read all this. I was thinking, wow, this is just Jesus all the way through. It does remind me of Jesus. Remember, though, the context is about worship. If we look now at verse 9 to 10 and just skim through that, I think Paul was telling the church that in their current circumstances, they could only see in part what was coming. If you look down to verse 12, we read that there's only a reflection, as in a mirror. There's only a reflection, as in a mirror. Now in part, then we shall see fully, face to face. Known as I am fully known. This will happen either when Jesus comes, if you don't die before then, or after we've done, on his return, when we're raised back to life. Everything will be complete. Verse 13, if you look down to verse 13, implies that some things will pass away and some things will remain, even in heaven. And these three things remain: faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. So there's an implication there that some things will pass away, some things will remain. Some of the things that will pass away, we've already looked at. If you look down to verse 8, you'll see some things there like prophecies. Remember what they held high at Corinth? Prophecies, tongues, knowledge. That needs a bit of explaining. So some knowledge, yes, will pass away, but some knowledge will not pass away. Look down to verse 12 with me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. If all knowledge is gone, then you won't know what's coming. So there is some knowledge that will carry on, because then we'll have... Do you see what I'm saying? Based on verse 12. If you don't, ask me later. All these gifts that were held highly by the Corinthian church were passing away. He tells them, these gifts were passing away. They are not that important. Hold on to them loosely. What is this got to do with us today? I see you looking there. What's that to do with us today? That's more than you think. They have more than you think. If you ask Christians what's important in worship, it will be varied, as we mentioned earlier. Likely on that list would be things that are passing away. God is looking for people who will worship him in truth and in spirit. So, to try and understand what's going on here, let's think and imagine that we've arrived at the gates of heaven. An angel of the Lord is sitting at the entrance. And he says to me, hello. And I says, oh, hello there. My name is Patrick. I was an elder at Silver Street Community Church. And I love Jesus. The angel says to me, welcome. Come on in. Lovely to see you here. You're welcome. You're only welcome because you trusted the Lord Jesus. You may enter. We don't need you here as an elder. The Lord's family here are directly in the presence of the Lord. They don't need your prayers, reminding them to look to Jesus, or anything else. Eldership has passed away. Come in, only because you loved and trusted the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. I go in. A missionary comes in. Oh, my name is such and such. I was a missionary in Ghana, or in the Philippines, or in India. Loads of people heard the gospel through me. I also trusted and loved the Lord Jesus. The angel of the Lord says, oh, very good. Welcome. You're only welcome because you trusted and loved the Lord Jesus. We need no missionaries here. Your work is finished. Nothing of your work as a missionary is required here. A businesswoman comes, a teacher, a parent. In heaven, you will not be needed for any of those. A carer, a pastor, elder. None of that will be needed in heaven. Your looks, your house, your ability to communicate, none of that will be needed in heaven. All that will pass away. All other troubles will pass away also, like the coronavirus. That might be a bit difficult to get your head around, isn't it? Even that's going to pass away. All illness will pass away. Housing needs, stress, conflict, all gone, all passed away. When completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. Jesus is that completeness. Don't focus on the temporary. Hold loosely to the things that are passing away. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. All you do in faith, hope, and love will remain. If love remains, church family, then it already exists. Paul is talking to people that already know him. So if love remains, it's already there. It already exists. If you belong to Christ, then his love is already in you. No such thing as a Christian who doesn't love. Ask the Lord to help you love his way. The description of love we've looked at is of Jesus. We read in John, in the Gospel of John, I read this a couple of weeks ago, that greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Friend, if you're here and you've never really trusted in the Lord Jesus, I am so pleased you're here. Or if you're online, I am so glad you're here. Because all this love thing that we're talking about, that is going to be impossible for you. You can never love like this. You need to receive the love that Jesus gives for you to start loving the right way. What's this love that Jesus has given? He died on the cross for all the things you've done wrong, all the things that I've done wrong. He came specifically to deal with the problem of your sin. You'll never be able to deal with that yourself. He died on the cross because I deserve to die, and all others that deserve to die because of sin. If you trust that Jesus died in your place on that cross, and that he really did die because you deserve death, and then he rose back from the dead on the third day, and trust that he did that for you, you will be saved. You will know this love that we've been looking at. Without Jesus, I'm afraid you'll be dead. Without Jesus, you'll never know this love. With Jesus, you have life. I don't know any other way to put it apart from, if you trust in Jesus today, you will be forever in his family. There's nothing that can take you out of his family. He showed us the extent of his love when he died in our place on the cross. His death on the cross was full of love. It was just overflowing with love everywhere, so that even if we die, through him we live. Romans 5 verse 5 tells us that God poured his love into our hearts. He poured his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, such that that love that we've been looking at now is in our hearts. It's not a distant love, it's in your heart. By his Spirit, God has poured his love in his people. The love that Christ gives will last forever. The love that this world gives will pass away. Christ's love will never fail. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I read a commentary there because someone asked, why does it say the greatest of these is love? Because it says three things remain, doesn't it? Faith, hope, and love. Why love? I'll share what I've discovered. Apparently, God does not need faith. Doesn't need faith in anyone, really, think about it, does he? God doesn't need hope, does he? But I tell you what God shares with us is...
love.
Oh, thank you, Hakim. Is...
love.
Yes, God is full of love. God is love, and in him there's no darkness at all. God is love, and he willingly shares that with us. Three things remain: hope, faith, and...
love.
Absolutely brilliant. This is exciting. God is love. You push him, do you know what overflows? You can never push God, I get that. So I'm not being flippant or anything, but I'm just trying to explain something. God is full of love. In him, it's just love. And that is what he shares with us. Do you know what? If you've got the love of Christ now, that will never disappear. Since you became a Christian, that's going all the way to eternity. I cannot think beyond eternity. My head doesn't go that far. But it's absolutely brilliant.
Faith.
It said what? Eternity. Oh, brilliant. Okay. Very good. I'm sure that eternity, Hakim, is full of love. I must finish. I'm going on. Whatever you do, please don't hear me wrong. Don't go out of this place thinking, yes, 2022, I'm going to work very hard at this love. You're not going to do it. There is absolutely no way you'll be able to do it on your own. But that same Holy Spirit that brought back our Lord Jesus from the dead is there to help you in your ministry, in your worship, and in your sacrifice. With him, with the Holy Spirit, you will love the right way. Whatever you do in 2022, brothers and sisters, do it with the love of Christ Jesus, whether in worship, as I've just said, ministry, or in your giving. May he help us to love with the love he has given us in everything through him, for worship, ministry, and sacrifice. And all God's people said, Amen. We will finish